Hi, friends. This is Bill Begley from Vital Basics.
Sorry about that, Bill Begley, but it's Sunday night, 11 o'clock, and you're listening to Dave's Gone By on AM 1240 WGBB Freeport. That's not expensive port. It's Freeport, the station that serves a community, Chinese food, and ribs.
Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night! Two flamingos in a fruit fight!
There goes the neighborhood. Welcome, everybody, to the 187th edition of Dave's Gone By. Daving through life. That's what we're doing tonight. We're daving through life on this Labor Day weekend. Labor Dave weekend. I'm here with you, as I am every Sunday night from 11 until midnight on AM 1240 WGBB. Happy to be here. Busy, busy show tonight. First of all, I've got my guest, my good friend, and co-host, actually, of Dave's Gone By tonight, Jeff Goodman. How you doing, Jeff?
Wouldn't we be laboring through the weekend, then?
Well, no, because this is not a laborious show. This is a lighthearted, this is a fun show. This is a show that just, yeah.
That's fine, but I also have a correction for
unless you're going into labor. What, sorry?
Yes.
I don't know what that means, yes?
Yes. Well, first of all, I never get tired of where every highway is a sunrise. I love that.
Well, thank you. That's very kind.
But I think you have to change it, because when you say they've never heard anything like it, unless you've heard last week's show.
Yeah.
And, of course, we know how many people are tuning in. So I think just about now, I think next week the entire island will have heard it.
I think so, at least once, and then turn it off and flush their radios down the toilets. Well, you know.
Or throw them out.
Or throw them in the bathtub, which is a really scary, you know, dumb thing to do. But my program will make people do things like that. That's what Dave's Gone By.
You know what
for.
Happens when they throw it in the bathtub?
What happens?
In there? Their skin goes transparent. You can see their skeleton.
Really?
I saw that on TV once.
Was it CSI or one of their, or All in the Family or Good Times? There was an episode they didn't show more than once.
I think it was like Tom and Jerry.
It was like the black activist kid. He was really mad at a neighbor. He just walked in.
What are you talking about?
No, that's Facts of Life. What are you talking about, Willis? That's the other show. Hey, did you see
that? No, actually, that's Different Strokes.
Different Strokes. Not Facts of Life.
That was
part
of Gary Coleman from my favorite show.
By the way, did you see not a miniseries, but that TV movie they were doing of the kids of Different Strokes? I think it's this weekend, where they actually have...
Well, how would I see it if it's in the future? Yes, they sent me a copy because they heard you on Dave's Gone By. Said, you know, we're not going to send it to Dave, because that would be like too much to ask. We'll send it to that other guy, Jeff.
Well, no, I meant maybe they show it on Friday or Saturday. I'm not exactly sure when it aired, but...
I didn't even know they had a movie like that.
No. Yeah, there's just the way they had someone playing Dana Plato and someone
now,
playing
I have to admit,
2, 4, or 7.
Now, well, then I was just going to admit to you that I'm the last house on Long Island that does not have cable television. Nor a satellite.
Because you choose not to, not because
it's
not
wired. I have this wonderful thing on my top of my house that I bought from Radio Shack. Store, I don't know how it's staying in business because I only bought it once. Yeah. It's called an antenna.
Well, rabbit ears. You still have rabbit ears.
No. Not rabbit ears. Rabbit ears were those things that went on top of the TV.
Yes, and they look
and
like
you
rabbit
point
ears.
Around.
No, this is up on the roof.
An antenna on the roof.
Yeah. An antenna. Yeah, okay.
I knew that was going to go.
Yeah. Hey, I've got to move forward on this.
Okay.
Got to tell people first.
There's
of all,
a 90-year-old woman waiting to talk.
Yes, we got to get to her before she deals over. No, I'm kidding. She's in better shape than I am.
It, yeah, right.
I mean it too. She's a dancer or was a dancer, an actress. So she's in great shape.
And she gets better gigs than we do too. So let's not make fun of her.
I know. But we do have to say that Dave's Gone By is an hour of comedy, talk radio, music, interviews, all sorts of stuff. Been on the air since October of 2002 and going strong, stronger than ever. We seem to have more of a fan base and more stuff going on than ever, which I think is great.
Because 2006 is a power year for you, Dave.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can feel it. I can feel it. It's like a boost. It's a caffeine boost kind of a year for the show. It's about
blood. You know what
time.
It is? It's the Frosties.
I think so. And it's our sponsors, too. Gotta thank them. Gotta thank Hewlett Minuteman Press, Gotta thank MortgagesRock.com and the Theater Magazine Performing Arts Insider, which will be sponsoring our second guest tonight, who is Peter Felicia, the theater critic for Theater Mania, and he's totally Felicious. All right,
are you going to be committing?
we're gonna commit Felicio on this episode. Unless he just heard that joke and decided not to call in now.
would just be all Felicio. I don't know, or Filato, I don't know.
Don't even. But we're going to have Anita. Let me tell you a little bit about Anita Velez Mitchell, because we're going to get to her right after couple of commercials.
I think I've seen it. The name is so familiar to me. I have to ask her what we've seen her in.
Well, it would have been over the course of many, many years. But one of the reasons I really wanted to talk to her, aside from the fact that she is a poet, an actress, was in previous years a dancer, and I assume a singer. She was on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Now, if you learn nothing from Cheetah Rivera, once you're a dancer, you're always a dancer.
This is true.
Cheetah Rivera told us that last year.
Well, I don't know how much dancing she does at 90. I will ask her.
And also, in the chorus line that's coming in, and it said, God, I'm a dancer, and a dancer dances.
This is true. Okay. But you know, aside from dancing, she danced in front of the bands, because she worked with Xavier Cugat. She worked with Tito Puente. So I don't know if she sang.
And my favorite person, Dental Floss.
No, that's Canteen Floss.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Now let me do my Canteen Floss thing, because I remember going to high school, as we all do, unless we did a lot of drugs, and the Spanish teachers were like, you know, you get that book about Mexico, and you get the book about Spain and all that, and you read, and you say, who is the most popular performer and the entertainer? And they go, oh, Cantinflas, the one and only Cantinflas. And it's like, he's their chaplain. Okay, he's their Woody Allen, he's their... And we look, they show us, like, clips of his films, and we're sitting there going, what? What? There's nothing. It's just a guy with a little mustache.
Now, Dave, I went to high school. I can admit this.
Yeah.
And I didn't learn anything about that.
Did you take Spanish?
No, I took French.
Bonjour. Au revoir. So who do they teach you about? Like Jean Gabin or?
I don't know. My big thing is that my teacher, when we got to the death segment, she was telling everyone, I'll never forget this, she always would tell us in French that when she dies, she's leaving everything to her mother. And we all went, isn't your mother, like, older than you? And we just...
Yeah.
It's like, and don't you think you'll get married? And we looked at her and said, I don't think so. And I must tell you, she hated me. I was the only teacher, because I used to be such a kiss-ass in high school. I was like the goody-two-shoes. But this teeny time, and I think it was from the day one when I said, I thought the teacher was running late, and I said, where's the teacher? Like 5 minutes later, she actually walked out from behind her desk. She was standing in the books on her desk. You know, they always have those books.
Yeah.
She was that short that it was covering her. And I swear, and I was such a suck up. I sat in the center, you know, that aisle. Front row, center set aisle. I wanted to get that A. And you know what that...
What? You can say bitch.
You know what she did to
What'd
me?
What did she do?
She wanted to fail me so much, but I passed that damn Regents.
Yeah.
Ooh, damn, okay?
Yeah.
That darn Regents. I passed the Regents, and she figured out that if she gave me a 54 for my final semester, my average would be exactly 64 and a half.
Oh, you would fail.
No. She had to pass me because I passed the Regents.
Oh, so.
But she figured out the lowest mark she can get to me, so it wasn't the Regents that saved me. That she just barely passed me.
Well, here's the real test. Can you curse her out in French, in radio terms? Did you learn enough French to say something really nasty about her?
No, and that makes her job really stupid because I didn't. I remember very little French.
Okay, well, we have
so
English commercials.
Nazer, it's all over for you.
Yeah, but it's not all over for us. We're just getting started here on Dave's Gone By on this September 3rd. We have Anita Velez Mitchell and her granddaughter on the phone coming up right after these important messages. Okay, so your business proposal has been typed, proofread, photoshopped, and given a nice cover. Now, all you need is 20 spiral-bound copies plus 1,000 printings of your latest brochure. Your Xerox can't do it. Your mailroom can't do it. Hewlett Minuteman Press can do it all. Your one-stop printing shop, Minuteman, 1315 Broadway in Hewlett, open 6 days a week, 10% off for Dave's Gone By listeners. Family-owned Minuteman, their service can't be duplicated.
Yeah, yeah, you rock. You know what else rocks? Mortgages rock. Yeah, because MortgagesRock.com gives you the chance to help your friends get the loans they need. College loans, home improvement, new trailer, MortgagesRock.com helps you help them. And the more work you do, the more commission you get. Full service, fully licensed, MortgagesRock.com has real experts on the phone, at the website, in the office, making you a bigger, better broker. MortgagesRock.com, where making money never sounded so good. Rock on, mortgages.
A little Xavier Cugat there for you on Dave's Gone By. Playing that because, unfortunately, we don't have any recordings of Cugat to play with our next guest, but at least I was able to dig up some Cugat. And happy enough to dig up our next guest. She didn't have to be digging up. She's 90 and alive. I'm sorry, that was that terribly.
You're never going to have guests.
No, she's still on the line. Thank you so much for not hanging up. We have with us...
I'm not teaching me French.
The director, Lorca Perez, who is her grandmother, as she found out, has been this amazing star as a poet, a dancer, an actress. Her name is Anita Vanez Mitchell, and I believe they are both still with us. Thank you, God.
We are here.
Oh, Lorca, hello. And Anita, are you there?
Yes.
I can't say it in Spanish, but bonjour.
Buenos dias. Buenas noches.
Buenas noches.
Okay.
So, Lorca...
And it was a very big mistake not taking Spanish. I will tell everyone listening right now, Spanish is the language.
let me start also. I know you're in a play, and I want to get to that, but let's get to really the kind of old good stuff first here. You were on the Ed Sullivan Show. What was that like?
Anita.
Right. I'm sorry, of course, yes.
I was there, and Ed is marvelous, and, you know, he asked me from Puerto Rico, who are the great singers, and of course I didn't know because I've been here for so many years, but I've heard of them. So I said, Lucecita. I never knew who Lucecita was,
okay.
But I had heard her sing, and he brought her down.
Oh, okay.
To New York City, and she became a star in New York.
Well, what were you doing on the... I mean, tell everybody...
Oh, I was a dancer at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a group of my own, two boys and two girls behind me, and we danced up a storm.
We started with
Sing, 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 and we did the first time that they ever did a mambo.
Wow.
And the mambo was written by Tito Puente.
Oh.
And we were doing the Hilton Hotel.
Uh-huh.
A tour, and so I started in Puerto Rico, then I went to Santo Domingo, where I had to run away, and then I went to Cuba.
Why did you have to run away from Santo Domingo?
Well, what happened was that I had two very lovely young girls, and somebody hooked up with them, you know, and they said, our show has been scheduled to stay for two more weeks because the seats are bought and whatnot. And I said, I can't. I said, I have to get opening in Cuba, of all places.
Really?
And so what happened was that I had to call my friend, who was a flyer, and he came with his plane and picked me up at 5 in the morning in the ocean because he had a...
The water plane thing?
Yeah, a water plane.
Oh, cool.
At, in the ocean, and the musicians were great. They brought me all my things, and I was able to get away and get to Cuba.
You have to write a movie.
That was the Trujillo
memoirs.
No, a screenplay.
Yeah.
a skate. Now, this was in Santo Domingo?
Well, what kind of number? Yeah.
No, but you could call it Escape from the...
I was at the Jarawa Hotel.
It's Escape from the Santo Domingo Hilton.
Yeah. It's one of the Hiltons, like. Okay.
Did you meet Nikki Hilton?
Or Paris?
You've been laughing a lot. What's so funny about being 90 years old? I want to know.
Oh, my God. I'll never make it. That's
well, actually, that's a question that you should be answering for us. What is funny?
No, I'm saying you're laughing. You say 90 years old.
Because we're never going to make it.
Yeah, no.
I think we'll just end up killing each other by like 50.
Oh, you're saying you won't make it.
We'll both be dead by 50. There's no question.
No, you've got to keep that nice, fun, you know, sense of fun that you have at this very moment. And that's going to make you live forever.
And well, is that your secret?
It's either
that
or
fame. Oh, yeah, yeah. That always making a positive out of a negative.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, see? For example, when I first came here to live here, you're talking about high school and things like that. I lived at 110th Street, okay, on Fifth Avenue. And my mother, who was one of those, you know, old-fashioned ladies, she used to say, we do not live in El Barrio. We live in Central Park North. And we are not poor. We just don't have any money.
Well, I must tell you, your voice, I would never guess you're 90. I'd never, not in a million years.
And wait till you see her. She's gorgeous.
Oh, really? Right. You have a photograph?
Well, I also have one really big question going back to the Ed Sullivan show. Did you meet Topo Gigio?
Who?
Topo Gigio.
The mouse guy.
I used to love him. See, I'm a little bit older, so I'm a little bit older than Dave, so Dave's not giving me, like, he's giving me, like, a year and 3 months to live.
Oh, my God. No, I'm sure that you're very young-looking and handsome.
Okay.
Yes. I can see it very beautiful.
I'm telling you, Anita, we're going to run away together.
To Cuba, yeah.
Anita's the Puerto Rican Joan Collins. I could say
oh,
so.
My goodness.
Oh, yeah, she's hot. Yeah.
And you're not so bad yourself, Lorca. Lorca, you are...
Lorca's beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
I must say that myself.
It's a love fest. Yes, I'm a director and an actor, and Anita and I worked... And I've been calling her Anita since I was 12, because when I turned 12, she said I was too tall to call her Grandma Ani. So my whole life, I've called her Anita.
How fun.
But, she's fabulous, and I love working with her, so that's very exciting.
Well, do please remind people also, Lorca, what you do.
Well, actually, at the moment, I'm directing a new play called The Ballad of Eddie and Joe, and it's a contemporary Oedipus Rex adaptation. It's very exciting, takes place in sort of a working industrial city, and a young kid is given up by his mother, his teenage mother, and he lives in foster care, and he winds up back at the town, back at the big city when he's 20. And if you know the story of Oedipus Rex...
Mm-hmm.
Along the way, he meets his father by accident. Things happen. Mm-hmm. He meets his mother by accident. Things happen. And it's
someone
a very exciting, fun play. And Anita is playing Joe, as in Joe Casta, as an older woman.
Ah,
we have an older Eddie, older Joe, and then two young actors that play them 40 years ago.
And where is the play?
We're doing it at the Hudson Guild Theater. And which is at 441 West 26th Street, which is right off between 9th and 10th Avenue in Chelsea.
So for Long Island people, we could get off the railroad and kind of walk. It's just a little thing.
Right.
And the Hudson Theater, it's in a housing complex, right?
It's in a beautiful community
center.
Beautiful. They just had a huge multi-million-dollar renovation.
Yeah,
it's a gorgeous theater.
A lot of shows started there, like Das started there.
Right. And actually, the last show that they had was extended, so maybe we'll be so lucky.
I've read about this somewhere, and I don't remember where, but it sounded great.
Well, when is your show running?
We run from September 8th. We actually open this upcoming Friday.
Cool.
From September 8th to the 24th.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And you can get tickets. Should I tell you how to get tickets?
By all means.
Of course. That's what we're here for.
Yeah, you won't be on here.
Well, okay, Anita would be here for me, and I'd, of course, call her.
Yeah, that's true.
Anita, I want your digits later.
Okay, so you can get tickets by contacting SmartTix, which has a website.
Was that SmartTix?
www.smarttix.com.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can call them at 212-868-4444. And they're only $18.
$18 a day? That's you know, how can you be a play?
How can you beat that, right? Brand new play, world premiere.
And you're directing
starring
the play.
Starring Anita Velez-Mitchell, directed by me, Lorca Paris. Yes.
What drew you to the play, Lorca? Why
actually,
this particular version of Oedipus?
It actually came to me in 2004. It was submitted to the Lee Strasberg Theater Institute. They have a one-act play contest. And I teach there, and I've done a lot of directing there, and they came to me, the administration, and said, I think we have a play for you. Take a look. I read it. I loved it. And so we did it as a workshop production.
But this is not the first time you've worked with your grandma.
No, we've done many, many things together.
Like?
We worked together for many, many years. We got awards together.
Right.
At La Mama. And everything.
She has directed me. I've directed her.
La Grandmama.
We've acted together in shows. Yeah, we've done a lot of work together.
Well, you know, as a director, she makes me very old, older than I am.
Okay, this is funny. This is funny. Anita's playing several characters in the play, and one of the characters, I said, okay, she's an old lady, and she said, well, how old? I said, she's 85. And all of a sudden, she hunched over, and she got this little old lady happening. She made her much older than she is herself. It was quite wonderful.
Well, let me ask you, Anita, how long were you dancing professionally? I mean, did you dance into your 50s and 60s, or did that have to stop?
No, I was dancing since I was a little kid.
Into your 50s?
Yeah, into my way over that, because I did West Side in 57.
That's right. I want to ask you one thing, Anita. Would you please say one thing
she
to me?
She did play Anita, yeah.
I want to say, a boy like that who killed your brother.
A boy like that who killed your brother.
What do you do?
I'll get that boy and find another.
Why?
One of your own kind.
Why?
For your own kind.
Well, where did you play Anita? Because it didn't say, was it on Broadway or where?
Yeah,
where?
All over. And then I took it on the
And
road.
Then they gave that Rita Moreno the part in the film.
I don't know why. Not fair. Yeah.
Tika and I auditioned together, but she was shorter than I, so she got the part first.
Tita Rivera. Oh, Tina.
Yeah. Well, she was shorter. Because
why did she have to be shorter?
Well, they had to. They already had a cast.
They had Natalie Wood, and Natalie Wood was.
No. They had a cast.
That's the movie.
Who was the original?
They already had a cast because
why
they were going to do it on 125th Street between the Jewish group,
East Side Story,
and the blacks in the back. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, the blacks said, "We don't want to be called niggers," and they're. Jews said, we don't want to be called kikes, and they changed their mind, and they went over to the East Side and got the Puerto Ricans and the Italians.
Puerto Ricans,
so they already have it, they already had a cash.
You sold out for the cash, huh?
And then I was
how exciting. Did you get to meet Leonard Bernstein?
Make it in your size. And when I came back from tour, I was with Marina Svetlova on tour. They said, hurry up, they're looking for you all over New York. And in 4 days, I had to do a West Side Story.
Wow.
Did you get to meet Leonard Bernstein, Jeff Goodman asked?
Yeah, of course. He's come here to my house and played on the piano.
Wow.
My father, actually Anita's son-in-law, my mother's
I was just
going to
say.
Maurice Paris is a music conductor, and he was actually one of the assistant conductors to Bernstein.
Well, what was Lenny like? I mean, any anecdotes?
Great guy.
And, you know, I think that's maybe why I call Anita, because he used to say, well, my mother-in-law is Anita. And they were looking for names for the new, you know, group.
Wow.
It could have been.
You never know. Yeah.
Well, let's also do some more name dropping. I mean, I was pretty excited that you worked with Xavier Cugat.
Oh, yeah.
In what capacity? How?
He was great.
No, were you a singer also, or did you dance?
Yes, of course.
Right.
I had to sing in West Side Story.
That's right.
Well, right,
I
of course.
To sing. I was a natural. I sang since I was a little girl. And when I was tall for my age, so I went as an usherette into the movies, and I said that I was way older than I was. I was a little kid, and I learned everything from the movies. I learned to sing, I learned to dance, I learned how to, propose and everything else.
Yeah.
And that was
my schooling. Stand in the back and do all the routines.
Right, she would.
That was my schooling.
And actually, she went. Oh, tell them the story about the. It's so funny how you got the job, the Mexican Hayride.
Oh, yeah.
Was that the Abbott and Costello film?
Well, I want to tell you what happened. In those days, there was something called the Good Neighbor Policy.
Mm-hmm.
And all the Latinos came into New York City. They brought all the dancers and the singers, Carmen Miranda, and they brought Cantinflas, and everybody was here. And actually, they were looking for Latinos that were, you know, creative. And so I happened to be, I looked like Rita Hayworth when I was a kid.
Whoa. Right.
Because I had blonde hair on the side like that.
Oh,
and they would pick me up in the street.
Well, she saw these kids standing online and she thought it was a bread line.
I thought it was
during the Depression. And so she went and she stood online and they came down, some, you know, casting scouts, and they walked by and say, "Hey, you, come inside." And she went inside and she wound up getting hired. In a Broadway show.
And
all
she was
with
Hungry.
Well, the thing is that we're doing a Mexican hayride, Mexican dance, you know.
Oh,
And since I have been looking at the movies, I knew the Mexican dance very well.
Right.
And so I got up and did it, and I was into my first Broadway show.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
That's amazing. She was also in the circus. She was in Ringling Brothers Circus.
Yeah, well.
I got disillusioned by the circus.
I went when
I was older, and it kind of smelled bad, and just...
Well, it's fun, though, if you sit with your grandmother who was in it, who tells you all the stories. Yeah, well, how they do this, and how they do that. And,
you know. Well, did you meet Carmen Miranda?
Yes, I met Carmen
Miranda. And?
Was she wearing fruit at the time?
She was a little kooky, yeah, but she was okay.
She was what? Sorry?
Kooky.
Kooky. How was she kooky?
Kooky, because, you know, she always played outside of theater. She played her own part.
Oh, I love that.
She was just like that outside. Like, she was...
She bought her own part
of the words and everything else. She was exactly like that. So, it's, you know, actors have to drop everything.
But she had to be a nice person then, because you had to love her.
You know, you met, for example, José Ferrer. José Ferrer was
Oh, my God, he was such a good actor.
And was Toulouse-Lautrec, but when you saw him, he was a gentleman. Cantinflas was a gentleman, very serious.
Cantinflas was serious?
Yeah, very serious. Huh. Nobody would know that he was there because he was an artist. Right?
And how did you work with him?
Well, it was a commercial for the Hilton Hotel.
Oh, okay.
It was Las Brisas in Mexico.
Wow.
And I met all the actors in Mexico. He had his own plane, and he used to drive us around, you know, fly us around from one place to another. It was a lot of fun at that time.
Anita, have you ever sat down and talked to, like, students about your life and stuff like
that? Yes, of course. I teach.
I love
that.
Where do you teach?
I teach poetry in public schools.
Oh, that's right. You're also a poet. I should have asked if you had, like, a very short poem you could share with us.
Because you're absolutely fabulous.
You know
I must
what?
Tell you.
I can't do that.
It's okay.
Anita, will you come back on the show and
time? I would recite beautiful poetry.
You can call in at 10:30 because we do an early show.
Okay.
Oh, that's right.
And maybe we'll talk to you like in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I talk to you forever.
Yeah, isn't she
I
great?
I love your story.
But we need
Thank
Lorca
you.
To remind
you. Too. Well,
you have to come see the show so you can meet her.
Well,
so please remind everybody
down that we're going to see the Ballad of Eddie and Joe.
Lorca, just remind everyone where Ballad of Eddie and Joe is playing and how people can get tickets.
Ballad of Eddie and Joe is playing at the Hudson Guild Theater, 141 West 26th Street between 9th and 10th Avenues, and it runs from September 8th through the 24th, $18 tickets.
And I can divine the telephone number.
212-868-4444.
Is that 212-868? 4444.
That's it.
The Ballad of Eddie and Joe,
starring or featuring
Sard, by David Sard,
by David Sard,
writer.
And you are directing. Lorca
Pérez
directing, and your grandma, the wonderful Anita Velez Mitchell, will be
brilliant.
Playing Joe Castle. Joe.
Well, thank you so much.
I have one last question.
And at one of the performances, by the way, Dave and I will come, and we're going out afterwards to talk.
Great, we love that.
David hates when I invite him. I announce these things on the air
because
now he's like roped into it.
Thank you, Jeff.
Well, Anita and I are going
to
go on a date afterwards.
Look, but one quick last question for Anita. Now that you are 90 years old, how is your life different, or is it at all different from, say, what your life was when you were 70?
Well, I don't have a lover.
I'm your life
for you, Anita.
That's the difference.
Well,
Jeff is not married.
And strangely,
the most beautiful men in the world that were with me as lovers.
She had five husbands.
Oh, five? Wait a minute.
Now I don't have a lover. I have lots of friends. you know.
Well, Anita,
especially in theater, you know, gay friends and all that.
Well,
but I don't have a lover.
Well, Anita, we were talking to my father's wife, actually, a while back, and it seems like she doesn't meet all his needs. I can give my father a call.
How old he is. If he's over 70, I don't think she's interested.
Oh my God.
But he's so potent.
70 is fine. 75 is the cutoff.
Okay.
70 is very good. It's
so
great.
Anita, is there sex after 90, or could there be sex after 90? I mean, are you saying that you
after
would?
After 90? Well, there could be, but you know, sex is such a beautiful thing. You want to save it when you have, when you know, you're nude and gorgeous and
everything else. Isn't it?
And I'm not on gorgeous, but I'm not,
you still got it
the
going
way
on.
I used to be.
Well, she had a boyfriend just a few years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, but he died.
You know,
now too, huh?
You know, I had a birthday last, the 21st of February, and they gave me a day in the city, Anita Velez.
Right. She's proclamation. We have the proclamation.
From the mayor and everything.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Signed by the mayor.
And no, I have pictures with Bloomberg and all that sort of thing.
And well.
Yeah, he's good looking. He's sort of nice.
Well, today is Dave's Gone By Day with Anita Velez. Jeff is pointing because there's apparently a little bug in the studio, so he's freaking out.
Bug, it's a roach. I never saw that in here.
Well, yeah, we bring food, we eat. It's like,
better than
I don't see it.
Anita, what was the last Broadway show you were in? I swear, I've heard your name.
Well, she's done a lot of film and television.
Oh, yeah, I have done a lot of
what
things.
What have you done
and
the last
my daughter, Jane Blythe Mitchell, who is an anchor person on television.
Right, you might know of Jane. She's on the
Jane
CNN a lot. She does Nancy Grace show a lot.
Oh, you didn't? Did you listen to my
previous
thing?
Yeah, she takes over for Nancy Grace when Nancy
Grace. I'm the last person without cable, by the way.
She did a documentary of me dancing through life, which won like 5 awards, you know?
Right. And what was your last show on Broadway?
My last show on Broadway?
Mm-hmm.
Gee whiz, I was
not for a long
you weren't in the wind.
I have been on Broadway every year at the, I can't remember that.
The Gypsy of the Year or no?
The Palace Theater. Every year I came to the Palace Theater.
Oh, you know, did you know my grandmother? My grandmother was in Earl Carroll's Vanities.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How wonderful.
What was her name?
Her name was Mary.
In Vanities?
No, Earl Carroll's Vanities. It was
the Vanities. They're the most beautiful women were there.
They were actually contemporary of the Ziegfeld Follies, but
they
were said to have been better. And,
she must have been beautiful.
She was gorgeous.
Well, Anita was a soloist, though. She wasn't a chorus girl.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah.
There's the difference, right?
Right.
Yes.
No.
So she's
another
the Kathy.
Thing is,
yeah.
Now I belong to the 12th Night Club,
mm-hmm.
which is mostly the Shakespearean women
mm-hmm.
that have retired. And they're most of all my age, maybe more, but they don't say so, you know. But anyway.
That's because they don't look as good as you.
That's right.
Fantastic.
And everybody get to see how wonderful Anita Velez Mitchell looks by seeing her in the Ballad of Eddie and Joe at the Hudson Guild Theater.
And
thank
we're going to talk to you again soon.
Talk to you soon. Muchas gracias, both of you.
Gracias. Un beso.
And we will. Oh, besos to you too. Wow. You got it.
Okay,
thanks,
we'll
guys.
We'll look for you.
We will be back right after this.
Listen to me.
That's right, Buggy. Listen to me anytime you want, because Dave's Gone By episodes are preserved on compact disc. Entire shows with a nice cover, track listings, own your favorite shows, or give a Dave's Gone By CD gift. Dave'sGoneBy.org has an episode guide, and you can order there, too. $11 for CDs, shipping included. Add $1 for autographs. Go to Dave'sGoneBy.org, buy a CD, and listen to me. Hey, Dave's Gone By listeners. If you like hearing me, you'll love reading me even more. So hurry and get my book, Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World, filled with hilarious plays that were performed in New York, like King Solomon the Wise and Blind Date. 232 pages of pure Dave, only $20 hardcover, $12 trade paperback. To get your copy, call 516-295-1511 or visit the Dave's Gone By website. We'll be right back. Inside Broadway, brought to you by Total Theater's Performing Arts Insider, your everything theater guide. Yes, and thank you to Performing Arts Insider for bringing us Inside Broadway on this very special theatrical and fun episode of Dave's Gone By on this Labor Day weekend with my good co-host Jeff Goodman with me. By the way, I'm sorry to freak out when you pointed out in that previous and a wonderful conversation with Lorca and with Anita that there was a roach crying, and it had that juxtaposition of, like, here we are having, like, two Puerto Rican women on the show, and you have to bring up, like, a cockroach. I mean, granted, it was true. There was a cockroach. Please.
She
crawling on the wall.
Central Park North. She wouldn't have a roach in her home.
Well, unless she were smoking it, and I wouldn't put it past her. Five
but I love them. We have to call them at like 10:30 one night and talk to them for half an hour.
Yeah, that would be. I mean, she sounds really amazing, and Lorca's really cool too.
Yeah.
But we have another very cool person, another guest, helping us with Inside Broadway, because it's the beginning. It's starting to get into the Broadway season. We had two shows open a couple of weeks ago, still a little quiet, but then, boom, come October and November, it's just going to be a whole big mess of shows. And this is a man who's seen dozens and dozens, really hundreds of shows over his career, written about them, written books about the theater. He has a column for Theater Mania, and I believe he was also the head of the drama desk for a couple of years.
Tell him about the book about for the kids.
Well, it's not just for the kids. It was a book for people who want to put on major musicals in their smaller communities.
Like called Let's Put On a Show or something.
Yeah, hey, let's put on a musical.
Oh, right. I love that.
Am I Peter Felicia is on the line with us. Am I right, Peter?
Yeah, Let's Put On a Musical, in fact, is what it's called. The new edition comes out next year, so keep an eye out for that.
Okay. If you can just talk a little bit louder, Peter,
sure.
or closer to the mic. Yeah, or
okay.
The phone. Scream out loud. Scream
okay,
out
strong. And so I shall.
Oh, that's Peter. Great. How many people are in Seesaw? Quick.
37.
Really?
Yeah. Any kid knows that. Two for the Seesaw, only two. Go on.
Wait, how many?
How many are nine?
47. So, how are you guys doing?
Do you really know all these by heart?
Of course.
Fiddler on the Roof.
This is what they teach in school.
Fiddler on the Roof.
52. See how the numbers have come down over the years?
Yeah.
Well, the recent Fiddler on the Roof had probably 47 or something. And then
I don't know that many.
Here's a tough one.
Yeah.
Sweeney Todd.
Don't you realize that I have no idea what these numbers are? I really believe it, huh?
How many instruments in Most Happy Fellow? One!
And how many in the Fantastics? One!
Maybe well, two. Actually, it's interesting. There are eight, but there were originally nine when the show opened in 1960, but they had so little money, they decided to have two people play one role. So it's very nice to see the Fantastics again on Broadway, so to speak.
Well, yeah. But how is the version? I haven't seen the new one.
The Dr. Pepper Theater? Or?
It's a Snapple.
Yeah, that's very painful to see. Whenever I keep my records at home of where I see things, for the last few years I've been able to put down American for American Airlines Theater, but with Snapple there's no way around it. I had to put down Snapple. Production is very good. It's a lot of fun to see Tom Jones play the old actor. He played it in 1960 when they were, again, hard up for money, so he took up the part then.
And
but now he really is an old actor after all. And it's interesting, he's changed one of the lines, because the line used to be, I've known this guy for 40 years, and now he says, I've known this guy for 46 years, because it's been 46 years since the Fantastics opened.
And did they change the rape number, the rape song?
A little.
Yeah,
the word rape still shows up a couple of times, but little by little they're weaning themselves away from that. So you do hear the word abduction, but I don't understand why they don't just use kidnapping and leave it at that.
Yeah.
Because
well,
that's
you know
what it is, and people would be less upset by that.
But you know, they're also updating. A funny thing happened to the forum.
Uh-huh.
Everybody ought to have a housekeeper.
I'm surprised Minute Maid has never used that for a commercial. Everybody ought to have a maid. You know,
oh,
I think that would be very
a maid?
Yeah, right, sure.
Yeah.
Well, everybody's holding a can.
Well, I bet you Sondheim never allowed it, or else his songs, you know?
Yeah, but I do remember in 1962 when a funny thing happened on the way the forum came out. Plymouth did use Comedy Tonight with lyrics like, soon there'll be no room left in the showroom, because so many people will be coming into the showroom. So if he did it for that, I couldn't.
He needed money back then. I guess
well, that's a good
now.
Point.
It was
time's
car, not
then.
Orange juice.
Yeah.
So, Peter, you're a little different from, say, the typical theater critic who's sort of running to the theater for a major daily or something and just writing a very straight review of a play or a musical. You do a column, you have a different sort of take on it, and you've been doing it, obviously, for a long, long time. How would you describe what you do?
Yeah, it is true. I do a different type of thing than most people. I am the poster boy for the theater aficionado. I am the person who wants to see everything, who wants to get the album the moment it comes out, the script when it's published in hardcover, that type of thing. I've been that way since I've been 15 years old, which is already 45 years ago, and it hasn't abated at all. I mean, I still have the zest, the enthusiasm. I'm never tired of going to the theater, even if it's a show I've seen dozens of times. I'm interested to see what's going to happen this time. So as a result, that's what my column is. It's for the hardcore musical theater enthusiast.
And by the way, I absolutely agree with you, Peter. I don't know why people see movies over and over. They're never going to change, but a play has different casts.
Sure.
It has, and you never know if something's going to drop. It's live.
Yeah,
it's
but a movie for watching in your living room.
No, no, it's
but they
true.
Go to the movie,
I mean,
too.
When an understudy comes in, you never know what's going to happen. Mm. You never know how people are going to react, too. I remember when I saw Working, the musical, in 1979.
I love that one.
Yeah, I went two nights in a row, and it was really fascinating. A teacher sang about having different pupils in the classroom, mm-hmm. and how teaching had changed over the years. And it was so interesting to hear one audience take it as if it was so serious, and the next night's audience laughed as if it were the funniest comedy song they'd ever heard. So even things like that are very much of interest to me. So you just never know when interest is going to strike. I mean, the Yankees had an expression some years ago to get people out to the ballpark. At any moment, a great moment. Meaning, you know, it could be two outs in the ninth inning, but you might see somebody hit a home run of a greater distance than ever before. It could happen. You mm-hmm. might see an astonishing play in the field. You might see a comeback. Yeah, it is true. At any moment, a great moment in baseball, but that's true of theater, too.
Yeah, and also, I wouldn't call it a great moment, but a moment involving the musical Working that I'm sure was not there. You know, speaking of the way seeing something later than when you first saw it originally, my wife and I were at a student college theater conference a couple of years ago, and they did the musical Working, and there was a bit about just people after work so tired, and all they want to do is put their feet up in front of the one-eyed monster,
mm-hmm.
and everybody in the audience just started, all these kids are just giggling, and going, and my wife is turning around, it's a television set, it's a TV, but of course, I don't think people quite made that association, you know, 10, 15 years earlier, when whoever, James Taylor or whoever else was singing that song back in the original Working.
Uh-huh.
James Taylor wrote the Migrant Worker song.
Well, all right, or maybe it was Snug Turkle.
Really did you like that musical?
Yes, it is interesting how for a show that's had such a short life on Broadway, it lasted less than a month, that it really has become a community theater staple. And I'm not surprised, because it does address what people do for a living.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really wonderful in community theater when you get the actual people who do those jobs.
Just occurred to me, this is Labor Day.
Yeah, right. That is fitting that we are talking about this on.
But you know what else it is? There's something about that theater, the 46th Street / Richard Rogers Theater,
mm-hmm.
because it's also happened with Sideshow. A lot of stuff that, and I'm waiting for it to, I can't remember. What's the musical about they shoot horses, don't they?
All right, Steel Pier.
Steel Pier, I love that one.
Mm-hmm.
It has had great flops in that theater.
Yeah, they all do. It's so interesting that there are theaters that are considered death houses that you can't sell tickets there. But what it turns out is if it's a show that's successful with the critics, people are going to find that theater. For example, Rent on...
The Niederlander, right.
The Niederlander,
yeah.
Which was the Billy Rose Theater and even the Trafalgar Theater for a year or two.
Yes.
Nobody could find it, it seemed, when it had a flop. But once it got a hit, I mean, for 10 years now, it hasn't been as lonely as it had been in previous years.
And that's a huge theater.
It's bigger than many playhouses, no question about it. But nevertheless, it does fill the seats for Rent, or at least it has for quite some time. So it's pretty interesting when you think that places that supposedly are just out of the way.
And look at the Ambassador. People are finding that theater.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed.
Let me ask you, Peter, what was the first Broadway show you ever saw?
My Fair Lady, in fact, at the...
That's a hell of a beginning.
Now the Times Square Church, I'm sorry to say. It was then the Mark Hellinger Theater.
Isn't that a gorgeous theater?
Oh, it was the prettiest, really, I think, of them all. Ironically enough, I went not knowing that such a thing as live theater even existed. Nobody told me. I thought I was going to see a movie.
Wow.
And how old were you?
I was already 15, I'm sorry to say.
So you've never seen a live, not even a puppet show as a kid or anything?
Well, I mean, things like that, yeah, but I assume, you know, grammar school shows, of course, things like that. But I figure that's what they did because they couldn't bring in a camera crew.
I'm with you, Peter. I didn't really know they existed until about the same age when I went with school. And then I didn't even care the first two shows I saw.
Yeah, me too.
First show I saw was 1776, the original cast with William I had William Daniels. I had this great Betty Buckley was in it.
Well, I want to stop you there, Jeff, because I remember something very specifically that you, Peter, were writing about. So that was a big musical. I remember some piece that you wrote about 1776.
Yeah, I've written about it a lot because I do think it's really quite wonderful because I sat there at the 46th Street Theater saying to myself as it was unfolding,
there's
no United States of America. It never happened because it seemed so impossible that these guys could all get together and sign the Declaration because it had to be unanimous. I just didn't think it could possibly happen because that guy from Pennsylvania was being so difficult.
Damn him.
I said, that's what they're doing. There's no United States of America. They're breaking the news to us through a musical because they think that'll be nicer.
But did My Fair Lady change your life?
Yeah, it sure did.
So when you got out of that theater when you were 15, you were like, oh my God, there's a whole other world out there that I'm just... Yeah, that just blew you completely away?
Well, again, really, until the curtain went up, I really thought I was going to see
right.
a movie. I mean, really, I was sitting, I looked at the playbill when it said, understudies do not substitute unless, you know, that type of thing, and I was hearing these scratchy sounds coming from the orchestra pit. I remember turning to the lady next to me, a little old lady with a veil. I mean, it was a Wednesday matinee, you know, and I almost said to her, are there really going to be people up there? And then I thought, shut up, she's going to think you're a moron. Keep quiet, you'll know when the show starts. And suddenly the house lights went out, and I thought it was a power failure. I thought, oh, I'll never know. You know, but then the curtain went up, and there was a scrim, and it looked blank, and I thought, nah, it is a movie. Why was I so stupid to think here in modern times, 1961, they would still be doing the same thing over and over again? I really thought they did plays until movies were invented. Then
why would
they bother? You know, so.
And let me ask you, also, over the years, what would be like your one or two most favorite? You mentioned 1776, and I guess My Fair Lady would be up there. What are your other favorite musicals or favorite experiences of musicals?
It's very interesting, favorite experiences, because going to Providence, Rhode Island in 1967 to see the musical version of The Grass Harp, because it was a regional theater, I assumed I was going to see scenery falling over and wigs, you know, that were too white and that type of thing. So I was really surprised with the professionalism down there because I went down there and all of a sudden I was seeing Barbara Baxley and Elaine Stritch.
Whoa.
Really?
Harold Bruce, Carol Bryce. I know that sounds odd, but they were both in it.
Wow.
And it was really quite thrilling.
You say Bruce,
this
I
new
say
show,
Bryce.
This new score, and it was marvelous. Seeing Allegro, the Rodgers and Hammerstein show from 1947, at a college at BU, Boston University, in 1966. Again, the same type of feeling, you know, it's going to be terrible, won't this be an embarrassing thing? And the kids were so wonderfully professional. So
I love seeing shows at colleges. I think they're
They're underrated.
Because they got really good budget, the people who are studying each of the aspects, you know, there's people actually studying to be, backstage crew.
Well, yeah, I even now in high schools, the amount of money that they're throwing at musicals in some of these places and the competence level depends on the high school.
It does, but I have seen some marvelous things here and there.
And what is the worst theater experience? Everybody loves to hear that. What's the worst theater experience? It could be a play also, if not a musical.
Well, it's interesting because most everybody mentions Moose Murders at this point, you know, and I have to say, that I only lasted 11 minutes at Moose Murders.
Did you really?
How could you know after 11? Do you regret actually not staying there?
Of course. I regret leaving. I had come back from a long trip. It was my first night in. I got in late with the plane. I went to the theater, and it was just so awful that I just thought, oh.
And who was in it?
Was Eve Arden in it? Or did she play better?
No, I can't say. Eve Arden, I think, only did one performance. No, it was Holland Taylor by the time I got to it.
Oh, my gosh.
So, did you see a musical by any chance called The News?
Oh, yeah, twice, in fact.
Really?
Yeah, only because somebody gave me free tickets at the beginning and at the end, and I thought, okay, let's see if they change it.
You know what it is, Peter? I am the news, you are the news, we are the news. I remember cast the characters. I wonder who were the killer. Could it be the character called The Killer?
I only remember a song called Give Me the Money, Give Me the Money,
oh,
Give
no.
Me the Money, Give Me the Money, Give
yeah.
Me the
oh,
Dough.
God.
I mean, you know, so...
But you were saying that Ruth Lotus was not the... Okay,
I have to remind you, of that hands down had the worst lyrics of any show on Broadway.
You don't get any argument from me.
Yeah, because when the killer, who actually commits suicide in the show, and Jeff Conaway, who I think was drunk at the time...
Because
I was really close, and he was had real bloodshot eyes.
Uh-huh.
He sings the following lyrics. He says,
maybe he misremembered the lyrics, but yeah.
No. It was blood stains and brain tissue splattered her dress. I mean, it really. That's. I swear to God, that's
dress
lyric.
Rhymes with a lot of things. So
No, but it was blood.
Tissue would have been cleverer.
Blood stains and
brain. Well, that's sort of a Sondheim-esque line.
And then that season also sprouted out the lovely musical Marlowe.
Yeah, Marlowe's very famous.
Isn't that hilarious? When Lisa Mondante, of all people, Cheetah Rivera's daughter.
Sure.
And he dies. Christopher Marlowe dies, and she 5 seconds later goes, I miss him already. And meanwhile, he's just ascended. They've just pulled him up on strings.
Oh, God.
And do you remember when Queen Victoria sang Rockin' the Boat? That had the best
lyrics. No.
Queen Victoria was singing Rock the Boat, Rockin' the Boat, Rockin' the Boat. Don't let those iconoclasts keep rocking the boat. I never thought they'd ever get the word iconoclast in a music in a song.
That is the song, by the way, that Ken Mandelbaum says really thought, he thought he would be asked to leave the theater. He was slapping at it so hard. The worst possible way that he really felt that his moments were numbered.
It was hilarious.
But was Marlowe your worst experience, or what was even worse than Marlowe or Moose Murders, Peter Felicia?
Wow. Oh, boy, the worst. Isn't it interesting? I can think of the best, but I have no luck really thinking of the worst.
Do patent leather shoes really reflect that?
Not so hot, but yeah. I wouldn't... put it among the all-time disgraces. But
Carrie,
I feel like I really am honor bound to come up with something here. You know?
Carrie the musical?
Mm-hmm.
What was that?
Carrie.
I thought Carrie was going to be a hit, actually. I didn't think it would get the critics, but I did think it was going to be a popular success. But you know why I like Carrie? I'll tell you. Just because at the beginning, they didn't give him the house lights. Snap, they went off, and suddenly we were in darkness. I don't know if you remember.
Yes, I do.
The walls black of the... of the Virginia Theater, and it's interesting, they stayed that way for a while, because all during City of Angels, they were still black until they did their renovation, but it was really great to suddenly, boom, be in the darkness, and immediately I was on their side, because, you know, I'd been to the theater thousands of times at that point, and I'd never seen that happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, as a result, they had me. And some of the music's quite wonderful, so I'm very sorry that it has this reputation as the all-time dog, because it really isn't.
No, it wasn't. It's a one-night hit, you know, one-night, you know, flop, basically.
Yeah, but, I mean, there's probably more craft to it.
Carrie was pretty good. How about Frankenstein, the musical? Remember that one?
Oh, the one that was off Broadway with George Abbott?
No, the one on Broadway at the Palace.
Oh, I didn't think that was a musical. I think that was just a straight play.
No, it's a musical. Yeah.
Really? Well, I don't remember the score.
We have just one or 2 minutes left, so I want to get to a couple of things.
Okay.
First of all, Peter, of the two shows so far on Broadway that have opened this season, this new, because the season doesn't start in January, obviously. It starts in May. What did you think of Martin Short, and what did you think of Kiki and Herb?
Well, Martin Short, it really struck me as the type of thing we used to get free on TV. A great TV variety show, like when Harvey Korman and Vicki Lawrence used to be the repertory players for Carol Burnett. He has a wonderful supporting cast there. So I really had a very nice time, and I came away saying, gee, I wish this were on TV free, rather than people have to pay $111.
Well, the jokes are a little too dirty for that. I mean, I thought it was really, really funny. But it would be on cable, not regular.
It would be on cable if it came to that. Yeah, I see your point there. Kiki and Herb, I did enjoy the comedy. I can't say I enjoyed the music very much, though I loved that they started with Celebration, a song that Jones and Schmidt wrote.
And did you love the pre-show? The pre-show had songs from Runaways, another like...
Oh, you mean just the music while you're filing it? Well, I can do that on my CD player.
No,
but I loathe...
But I mean, I heard
awful
things that I hadn't even thought about in years. Runaways was not really
was,
bad
that
music.
That was a good score, though, in Runaways.
Well, I can understand why anybody would not think of Runaway for years, but that's another...
listen to the CD again, Peter. There's some great songs.
Really?
Yeah, it's some really wonderful material.
Better than I remembered, huh?
I never saw the show, I just know from the CDN. Peter, what are you looking forward to as far as what's coming up this season, musically or otherwise, on Broadway?
Well, of course, let's see what company looks like with this mm-hmm. playing the instruments. You know, that could be good, that could be bad. I certainly want to see High Fidelity. It's very nice that Amanda Green is going to be at the same theater, her lyrics anyway, where her father's lyrics were heard and On the Town, and her mother appeared yeah. In that show, Phyllis Newman. So I think that'll be nice. So I'm looking for the Tom Stoppard plays. He always gets more difficult as time goes on, but I'm certainly game to see those three plays. I think that should be
The Coast of Utopia.
Too.
Right, it's the three plays in repertory.
It goes from the High Holidays to Lent.
I suppose you're right. So those are certainly ones that I'm looking forward to, and whatever they can bring that's musical.
Are you looking forward to the Pirate Queen?
Sure. A lot of people come down hard as time went on Les Mis, but it's always been a score that I've admired tremendously.
It's a great score.
Sure. But I don't know about your friends, but I'm telling you, my friends, come down on every possibility that they have.
Well, that's like the theater crowd that, if anything's popular and a hit, can't be good.
I know.
It's not artistic.
Oh, yeah.
Well, speaking of being artistic and popular, Peter, remind people where our listeners can read your work and buy your book and all that.
Sure. Yeah, theatermania.com. That's theater with an E-R. Three times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Let's Put Out a Musical comes out, I believe, in January. 70 shows were taken out of the past edition, 70 new ones put in. And for those of people who are in New Jersey, I write about New Jersey theater for the Star Ledger.
Oh, that's right.
Nice.
Yeah, very, very good. So,
how many people are in 70 Girls 70?
There should be 70.
But
just
not...
like there should be hundreds of girls in Mac and Mabel, but what can you do?
Oh, Thomas is promising.
Well, we have one 90-year-old who can do
it. So I'm told. Yeah, that sounded fascinating. I only heard what you guys were saying. I didn't hear a word of what she was saying.
Oh, really?
So that sounded interesting.
Well, she was great.
She was unbelievable.
And also thanks to Lorca. And thank you so much, Peter Felicia, for joining us on Dave's Gone By. We'll be right back.
Thanks.
After this.
Bye.
We've just been inside Broadway, thanks to TobalTheater.com and Performing Arts Insider. They say the neon lights are bright on Broadway, and you can see them shine off Broadway too. And if you love the theater scene, you need this special magazine. Performing Arts Insider is for you. Everything you want to know about theater, cabaret, opera, and dance, 516-295-1511. 516-295-1511 or performingartsinsider.com. Do you know how easy and inexpensive it is to advertise on Dave's Gone By? You don't? Well, hey, it's even easier to find out. You can run a 30 or 60 second ad or sponsor a show segment or the whole show. Just go to davesgoneby.org to see the rates. Or call 516-295-1511, 516-295-1511. Bring your message to my audience. Advertise on Dave's Gone By. D is for Dave, F is for fun, S is for silly and special, X is for excellent entertainment, DFSX, Internet Radio, playing vintage episodes of Dave's Gone By, Saturday nights at 11. It's part of Live 365, but all you gotta do is visit davesgoneby.org. Click the link and listen online to classic Dave's Gone By, Saturdays at 11. DFSX, letters that stand for terrific. And we have had a terrific time on this episode of Dave's Gone By. Thank you so much, everybody, for being with us. Got so many thank yous to give. I want to remind people a couple of things. First of all, The Ballad of Eddie and Joe by David Sarr, directed by Lorca Perez, at the Hudson Guild Theater, 441 West 26th Street, that's off 9th Avenue. It opens on the 8th, it ends September 24th, so you only have a couple of weeks, but price is only $18, and if you're a student, just $10. Tickets 212-868-4444. Thank you to Scotty Rhodes and, of course, Anita Velez-Mitchell for being such wonderful guests. Thank you so much to Peter. Oh, there you are, Jeff.
I love all these people, especially my new girlfriend, Anita. I'm waiting for you, baby.
Well, there you go. Thank you to my co-host, Jeff Goodman. So, and I always like to thank my boom-chick-a-boom-chick wife, Joyce. And, oh, I want to say hey to my Aunt Bonnie. She's having a birthday. And also a Shehecheyanu to her husband, Les, who just moved offices to a different place. And that's kind of neat. Congratulations to him on that. Got to plug the sponsors. MortgagesRock.com.
An excellent website.
Yes. Performing Arts Insider magazine.
An excellent magazine with lots of resources.
Hewlett Minuteman Press.
The very friendly people who give you a discount when you for all your copying needs.
And Fancy Schmancy Balloons.
Never heard of them.
So you've never heard their phone number either.
Wait, let me divine it. 516
797-3229? 797-3229 is correct for not just balloons, but centerpieces too. And
all your party needs.
That's right. Oh, and it's a party every Saturday night on Indecent Exposure Radio. Saturdays, midnights to 6 a.m. Sunday. 6 hours on WVOX Radio in New Rochelle.
Can you imagine if we had to do this for 6 hours?
I love it.
We'd kill each other.
Yeah, pretty much. No, I'd kill you.
I'd be dead.
14...
And the roaches would be eating me.
Well, that's a very
We'd
tiny
like
roach.
Thank our little roach in the studio.
You would have to have more friends to really devour you. But let me just remind people, these were the guys who were on our show last week. Indecent Exposure Radio, WVOX, AM 1460 in New Rochelle. You can hear their stuff on the internet, indecentexposureradio.com. Also, some other things to listen to. You've got country music and swing music, both hosted by the same fellow, Vic Fusco, really nice guy, and he's on this station, AM 1240 WGBB, Sunday nights at 7, he does the country show, Sunday nights at 9, he does the swing show, and catch him every Sunday, Vic Fusco. And also listen to Joyce Keller, she's the radio psychic, she's on Wednesday nights at 11, and if you want to hear...
But she's a radio psychic, you'd already know that already.
Well, she'd know it already, you might not. catch a vintage episode of Dave's Gone By Saturday nights at 11 on DFSX Radio.
I love listening to those.
Are they cool?
The ones with me, yeah.
Well, actually, you're on so many of the more recent ones that they're not on there yet, but they'll cycle through.
Enough vintage yet.
But Saturday nights at 11 o'clock on DFSX Radio, all you got to do is just go to my website, davesgoneby.org. You can click and listen and hear an old Dave's Gone By
Why
every Saturday night.
org.com? You're an org.com.
Oh, that's a long story that I don't have time to tell. I used to have .com, but
you're an Dave's Gone By org.
.org.
Org.
I'm an org donor, I guess.
You're a little org, davesgoneby.com, org.
Oh, and also...
davesgoneby.org.
Right.
I called you Dave's.
I'm totally lost in this now. I've got to wrap this up.
Dave'sGoneBy.org.
Yeah.
And don't forget to put anything you feel about the show on that, too.
Well, yeah.
Write Dave a little message.
Well, actually, I'm asking this. I'm going to send out an email to folks because next week our show is going to be kind of interesting. We're going to try and do it as a half party, half funereal thing because, A, next Sunday, our show will be on from 11 to midnight, which coincides
with the pre-show at 10:30.
And a pre-show at 10:30, God willing. But it's going to coincide with the telethon, the Great Lubavitch Chabad telethon that they have every year. It's totally insane. They've got rabbis dancing. They've got John Voight. They've got famous actors. Edward James Olmos with a yarmulke. It's nuts. I've been watching it for years. Unfortunately, I haven't been won't be able to really watch it because I'll be working at the studio.
And Carol O'Connor won't be there.
No, not at this point. So we're going to try and have it on the internet. And have it here, and have some people here goofing on it, commenting on it. But we're also doing a 9/11 thing because the show next week will go from the 10th of September into the 11th. So please, if you're listening to the show now, or if you're on my email list, I'm trying to get fans and listeners to send in where they were, what they were doing, what they were thinking about, or what their week was like during 9/11. And I'll read some of those comments on the air next
week. And we'll also allow call-ins, too.
Yeah, if you want to call into the station next week, we'll take the calls just for a minute or two.
Once or twice,
so people can say what they... You know, if you want to take that number down now, it's 631-888-8811. 631-888-8811. So a very special and kind of weird and different show next week, next Sunday at 11, the 188th edition of Dave's Gone By. Until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz wishing you good night. Boom chicka boom chick, boom chicka boom chick.
And gone by.
Goodbye.
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 Goodbye. great to see you die.
Well, anyway, goodbye.
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 Goodbye. Goodbye.
Yeah, put it off.
I'd love to put it off, but then we'd only have to do this painful scene again. So let's just say goodbye. So goodbye, Unik. Goodbye, Isha. Goodbye, Sam. I'm sure gonna miss ya. Goodbye, Melnik. You too, Myron. In my expiring goodbye country, it's been fun. You know I hate the rule and run, but I must get them dying, not so everyone can buy.
Don't cry.
Someday we'll say hello. You too, Bradley. Tell you sing very badly. Thank Matilda till I holler. For the funeral parlor. Tongue rotten rhetoric. I'm really feeling very sick. Starting a death or do it quick.